Just a reminder to everybody to mute now.
Would have hope when it's cut, it grows green again and its boughs sprout clean again. Would have hope. Root and stalk, although old and withered up and all sunk in. Return water pure brings life to them, and the tree lives young again. Would have hope, but for flesh waits death. Soul and breathe life out, behold all things end. Mortal life's like a dried up riverbed. We sleep, lay down our heads to rise no more. But a strange thought, if a man could rise again, called home to a loving land. Again, we would have hope.
Good morning. My name is Susan Wargo. My pronouns are she and her. Our pastor, Katie Akins, is on a well-deserved vacation this week. We are glad to see all who are here with us today, whether you have been coming to TAB for 15 years, for 5 years, or for 5 minutes. You are welcome here. If this is your first time to be worshiping at TAB, we would love it if you could fill out our virtual visitor's card that is on the screen, I believe, right now, or you can introduce yourself in the chat box. There are several ways to connect with the Tabernacle community. This coming week, we will be having Bible study on Wednesday at 5:30. There is also the opportunity to join the prayer gatherings on both Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings, 8:30 to 9 a.m. We also have a happy hour at 7 p.m. on Friday. This is an opportunity for small group connection and conversation. New folks are particularly encouraged to come. Beverages are optional. We also want to announce that the Interfaith Walk for Peace and Reconciliation will take place today starting at 2 p.m. Registration is necessary. The easiest way to do that is go to the website at interfaithwalk, interfaithpeacewalk.org and sign up. All of these opportunities together are virtual at this time. Our worship service today is being led by our Environmental Action Team. As suggested in its name, the focus of this group is to protect and care for our sacred earth. Lastly, we would like to invite you to attend the tab.edu session, also held by the Environmental Action Team. Tab.edu will begin after worship today at 11:45 a.m. Today, we will share with each other our successes and our challenges in helping to heal the earth by the way we lead our everyday lives. I have, however, saved my best news for last. I have given permission to announce that Antonio James Villacorta was born yesterday at 5:45 p.m. to our good friend Joanna Bowen and her husband Gavin Villacorta. All are doing well. Praise be to God. And now, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship God.
We are here for the word, the sung word, the spoken word, the quiet word, the logos of creation. We are here for each other. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Let us worship God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, as we think about care for the earth, I thought of this song, Come to the Wild, by Pastor Katie. As you sing these images, I invite you to imagine them in your mind's eye and imagine yourself in the song. Let's sing together.
Come to my river, bathe in waters of grace. Don't hold on to your shame or your past mistakes. Healing water, moving freedom, washing my grace. Come to the wild meadows of my design. Find your place in creation. Watch the birds in the sky. Touch the leaves. Feel the breeze. Here you belong. Take courage. Step in. I have carried you through. Remember the purpose I have placed on you. Fly on the wings of your ancestor sons. You belong. You belong. Stand in the strength of a tall maple tree. Find my roots that grow down, holding tree next to seed, holding in, holding on, here you belong. Take courage, step in, I have carried you through. Remember the purpose I have placed on you. Fly on the wings of your ancestor's sons.
As we celebrate Easter this past week and remember how the stone was rolled away, Dee mentioned this song to me and sent it to me in an email. And I love the words. I love what it says. Let's imagine rolling this stone away together.
God, we are living in a time of many people and fewer resources, of wealth and consumption in the hands of the few. A time of pandemic, of climate change, of mining, of deforestation, of factory farming, of fossil fuels over sustainable alternatives, of more plastic than fish. We are not using your resources sustainably or favorably, God. We are not respecting your word, your word, your creation. Help us, God, to do better. Please join me in a prayer of confession. God, we confess that we come here with so many possessions. We know why. We think they will protect us from need or cold or hunger or loneliness. Sometimes we assume we deserve them. Sometimes we take them for granted. Sometimes we actually give thanks for what we have. But also we know that the season of passion asks us to shed some of that protection. God, help us understand how the blind man who had almost nothing could lay down his cloak before Jesus. Help us understand his willingness to go without. Help us live into our own acts of giving and change. Help us understand that Jesus calls us to live as givers and healers through all seasons. Help us lay down our garments. Help us heal the world as Jesus heals our souls. The God who challenges us to change our lives will not force us into that change alone. The God who calls us to lay down our garments will stay by us as we struggle through those changes. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Now is the time in our service when we take a few minutes to welcome one another and to pass the peace of Christ. It might also be called a few minutes of holy chaos. I believe you're now able to unmute yourselves and put your screen on gallery view. Let us pass the peace of Christ with each other.
Peace, everyone.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with everyone.
Peace, everyone.
Peace, everybody.
Good morning.
Bye. Peace.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Andy Leeds, hello.
Good morning, Eloise.
Hi, Andy.
Good morning.
Hi, Thana.
Hi,
Anna.
Hi, Elliot.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Deidre. Thanks for your music.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Lee.
Hello.
Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
In Maine. Still cold up there,
and
right?
Elliot.
And Elliot. Sorry, Elliot. Hello, Elliot.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Susan. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. It's not so chaotic today.
Susan, when is it?
Because we don't have Levi.
There you go.
I was wondering.
Oh, oh well, that could be it. That, yeah.
No, Auntie Laura.
Yeah, we have Auntie Laura.
Missing it. Missing it.
Hello. Fletcher.
Hi,
hello,
Auntie
Fletcher.
Laura.
Wait, there's... But Rose is here. Where's your family, Rose?
Hi, Rose.
They're driving to Illinois. They're on their way to Lara.
Oh,
oh yay.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And left you behind.
Yes.
Oh, Well, good to see everybody.
Yes. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Jim and Maureen.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning. Hi, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Susan, don't you think we should call Joanna?
You're not muted. You're muted.
You want me to call Joanna? I could. She sounds exactly just like herself. She's like, all is well. Everything's good.
This
baby was so big. I'm glad I was induced on my due date.
How big was the baby?
Just 8'11".
Whoa.
Wow.
And she's a tiny little person. So
yes.
Yeah. So he's adorable too. So cute. It's like a little baby wrestler.
Reading this morning is John 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Word of God for the people of God.
This is the time in our service where we invite the children and the young at heart forward for the children's time. So if you're one of the folks who would like to be in that smaller circle on Zoom, you can go down to your reactions in your Zoom menu at the bottom of your screen on the right and click raise hand to be a part of that smaller group. Let's sing to invite all those folks forward for children's time.
Child of God, you are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child.
Good morning.
I have a story today. You know that I like to talk about animals, and you know I like to talk about things that get better. A few weeks ago, we had a story about getting better when you had a boo-boo or an owie, which is silly names for the times when you really hurt yourself, when you have a big old cut on your knee or elbow or something. Today, I want to talk about something bigger, and we have a guest.
Hello.
You need to tip.
I need to tip this down. And this is, there you go.
There's Lyle.
That's Lyle, who is a little confused right now. So thank you.
Thanks, Lyle.
Okay. Lyle is a dog. He is my my daughter's dog. And excuse me. I want to talk about Lyle and tell a story about getting better. You can see in the first picture there, there's a child with three people around him who are helping him get better. This child looks like he broke his leg or his ankle. Now, if you lift up your hand and squeeze, you'll feel something hard in there. That's called a bone. And sometimes sometimes you break your bones. And when you do that, you have to get either a big bandage or a cast or something like that. So this is a story about the time that Lyle hurt his leg. There he is. You can see that great big bandage on one of his legs. Lyle loves to run in the backyard, and he loves to jump against the fence. And one time he ran and jumped so much that he hurt his leg and he could hardly walk. So the doctor said he had to have an operation on his leg. She fixed the broken part and she sewed up his skin. And then she put that big blue and white bandage on his leg. So this is a picture of Lyle with that big bandage. He also had to have that big plastic cone over his head because he wanted to chew the bandage. He was not very happy. It hurt and he was tired and he was very confused. But he was a very good dog. He figured out a way to take a nap with his big cone. You can see he's in his bed there. He's leaning his head on the little pillow part. So you just saw Lyle, the real Lyle, and then now there's going to be a picture of Lyle with something else on his head. He's all better now. This is a story about helping people, and also, it's a story about being very grateful to these special people who help animals and help children and adults get better when they're hurt. God created doctors and nurses and parents and casts and crutches and all those things to help us get better, because that's a way that we can get back to what we want to do, which is run around and play. Lyle still runs and jumps against the fence. He hasn't hurt himself again. We hope he won't. But if he does, we'll just go through all this again. So I want to say a little prayer. God, thank you for creating casts and bandages, and for making doctors and nurses and parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents and teachers and all those people who help us when we are hurt. Amen. Thank you.
This morning, inspired by the Environmental Action Team, we're singing For the Beauty of the Earth, a hymn that many of you might have grown up with or might know from your childhood. If you don't know this song, I think you'll learn it quickly. But I'm also going to play it a little bit as a meditation so we can sit with these images a little longer and imagine each one as we sing them. Let's sing together.
beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grace. Best gift divine to the world so freely give, for that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful
praise. Good morning. When Chris Purdom read the scripture this morning, he had this line: "Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe." This morning, we on the Environmental Action Team are going to be sharing some of our signs of hope and healing, which we have seen ourselves, and we're sharing it with you this day. So let us begin by praying together. Oh God, we ask that your presence will be with us today as we share those signs of resurrection and new life which we have seen. May the words of all of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So today we are sharing these things so that our joy may be complete. It is the Sunday after Easter, and yes, my friends, we are still rejoicing in the good news of the resurrection. Christ has conquered death. What a joy it is to know that we serve a God who, in Christ, has claimed victory over death. But not all the disciples were there to see the risen Christ. In our scripture reading this morning, we learn that Thomas was not present when Jesus first appeared. He did not believe the testimony of the disciples who said that Jesus had risen. Just as the disciples had not believed the women who came running to them with the news about the empty tomb on Easter morning. Thomas said that he would have to put his finger in the wounds of Jesus to know for sure, to know for himself that this was the same Jesus who was wounded and had died on the cross. A week later, Jesus appeared again. We don't know if Thomas ever put his finger in the wounds of Jesus, but we do know that he did believe that Jesus was resurrected. "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. sometimes it is difficult for us to hear good news. It seems unbelievable. Even when witnesses testify, we, like Thomas, are prone to doubt. We believe that the world is in deep trouble. It's not just COVID, but racism, the economy, the schools, gun violence. The problems of the world can easily overwhelm us. We on the Environmental Action Team want to share some good news with you this morning. I know that sometimes it seems that making progress on the environment is an impossible task. I know that some people think it is already too late to make any impact on the damage that has been done to the environment. They believe that we cannot roll back climate change. But we are here today to testify to some signs of hope and healing that we have seen locally. These signs encourage us to not give up on our efforts to make our world more sustainable. We'd like to share these signs with you now, starting with Priscilla, followed by Buki and Vic.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Geneva, and thank you, Tab, for being Tab. How do we live in loving communion with creation? For me, it's less about how do we heal the earth and more about how do we heal ourselves. I don't think that we would be doing what we are doing to ourselves and the rest of creation if we were in our right minds, healthy in body and spirit. First, my confession. And then my witness to hope and healing. I'm stuck on the cross, as Pastor Katie put it last Sunday. Anxiety, fear, and despair, these come all too easily. The doubt Geneva spoke of, feelings of futility. The status quo is so hurtful. I absolutely know in my mind and my heart that we need change, but how and to what? These words from another TAB service stay with me. We cast aside our dreams to maintain the familiar. We cast aside the dreams of others, fearful of what they might mean for us. As I slogged so many years through my lobbying job, I often thought, I am doing work that does not need to be done. In my hopelessness, I thought, who is doing the work that does need to be done? I am here to share the hope and joy I felt as I witnessed someone who was doing the work that she knew had to be done. I'm talking about the work of Gabrielle Paez at Esperanza in Hunting Park. She knew exactly what she was trying to do and why. She calls herself a scientist and a Christian. Most of you probably know this community. For me, words like vulnerable, poor, Hispanic come to mind. It's also hot. I read that it can be 20 degrees hotter than other parts of the city, due in part to a lack of tree cover. Philly overall has about 20% tree cover. The city's goal is 30%. Hunting Park had 4% when Gabrielle and the community began their work. A word of caution, what I am sharing is based on my memory, always a little, not always totally reliable, but I also did Google to try to fact check myself. I heard Gabrielle speak at a climate conference during 2019. How I reveled in Gabrielle's work and spirit. She talked with energy and passion and humor. Authority born of authenticity of her community and serving it. In a few short minutes, she overcame my baseline skepticism and despair. Believe me, those are some high hurdles. The work started with so little free trees. I don't remember from where. Tree Philly, Pennsylvania Horticultural Society, and tree tenders were mentioned in what I read online. Now, please take a moment and imagine How did those first trees come to be planted on Cayuga Street? Were they bestowed by an outsider nonprofit? Did a committee at Esperanza decide to plant them every 50 feet? Did city workers come and plant them at the X's? Here's where I experienced real joy during her presentation. It was balm to my spirit. People had to apply to get the trees. They had to help plant the tree and to commit to taking care of it. They attended classes in both Spanish and English to learn about their tree. And at the same time, they learned about climate change and how the trees would help the neighborhood cope. And they had to get their neighbors to sign petitions saying that they agreed to the trees and that they would help take care of them. Word of the tree spread, so did community pride and well-being, according to the community surveys. I read that over time, nearly 1,000 trees were planted. Gabrielle shared that she gets calls if someone has done something to a tree. For me, it's a kind of loaves and fishes story. Gabrielle offered the community some free trees. They flowered into the neighborhood's increased capacity to care for and comfort one another, increased knowledge and beauty, increased resiliency. Boy, do we need that. And ultimately, more shade. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you to the Environmental Action Team for asking me to speak. Our climate is changing, and so much is changing with it. About 2 miles from TAB in Southwest Philly, in the Kingsessing neighborhood in which I live, is Bartram's Garden. Bartram's Garden is the oldest continuously operating botanical garden in the US. So if you haven't visited, please make it a destination as soon as possible. I promise it's well worth it. In my brief time with you today, I want to talk about Sankofa Community Farm at Bartram's Garden, which I consider to be a source of hope and healing in my neighborhood. Founded almost 12 years ago, Sankofa Farm increases access to fresh, organic, and nutritious food. The farm aims to build a more just and community-powered food system, helping people develop self-reliance through food sovereignty and deepening their relationship with the land, their food, and each other. In short, it's FUBU style, for us, by us. In light of climate injustice, food insecurity, economic instability, racial oppression, food sovereignty as practiced at Sankofa Farm gives me hope and offers a sign of healing. This is especially so when I consider the history of the land on which I stand. Food sovereignty continues the tradition of the Lenape people who first discovered Philadelphia. It also continues the tradition of people of Afro descent, whether their ancestors have been here since the 17th century or their parents are recent arrivals from Mali, Tanzania, Nigeria, or Haiti. It is because of these elders and ancestors whose lives, blood, and sacrifice, and on whose shoulders we stand, that Sankofa produces about 15,000 pounds of food every year in the community. Growing garlic, okra, and collard greens, foods that are nourishing and full of stories and songs, local students and families work together to feed themselves and honor the land. The farm also offers a home garden program by building and installing raised beds at individual homes to increase access to healthy food and ignite a network of gardeners across the neighborhood. In doing so, it practices the Sankofa way, learning, sharing, and rediscovering their connection to the land. Sankofa Community Farm represents the signs of hope and healing I seek when I am inundated with a climate crisis, and I seek examples of how we can be stewards of the land tenders of the earth and creation. By planting and swapping seeds, growing together, and sharing the bounty, our neighbors are doing what God does. God loves us, protects us, renews us, and saves us. And we must remember that such love, like every genuine love, is mutual. Sankofa Farm and neighbors are actively undoing the harmful and unjust practices of our past and present by loving and protecting the land, by fostering, renewing, and regenerative practices, and saving and healing themselves. They are blessing us. They are reminding us that Sankofa means learning from our past to inform our future. They remind us too that hope is not a license to relax, but a reminder not to give up. So despite food insecurity, alarming rates of sickness in our community, the environmental crisis, economic injustice, racially motivated acts of hate, debt by capitalism, Sankofa staff and local residents are pushing us towards the mystical and showing us ways of resistance. Consider this. Bartram's Garden is located between the former PES refinery and train lines that are still carrying crude oil. I know, it's an oasis in so many ways. But like water, whether lakes, my personal favorite, or rivers like the Schuylkill along the shores of Bartram's, Sankofa offers me hope that within me is a well, and deep enough is the answer to love and healing. And more importantly, that in community, connected to the land and with each other, we'll find justice. If we try, we can and will reclaim this land for ourselves and future generations. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for those wonderful testimonies. My name is Vic Comfer. Our theme today, as you've heard, is signs of hope. And one of the questions is, how do we inspire within ourselves and others? How do we experience hopefulness around climate change when there is so much doom and gloom and doubt? And even today, people who deny this reality. A specific occasion that gave me and continues to give me such great hope began 2 or 3 years ago when I was listening to an interview by our former pastor, Patricia Pierce, on her podcast, an interview of an MIT scientist and entrepreneur by the name of Peter Fikowski. Peter introduced to me and does to many others the idea of the process of climate restoration. I think we all know something about the usual processes which are growing in usage and which we can be very pleased about. These are called forms of mitigation and adaption. And they have to do with, say, for example, solar energy, wind power, electric cars, recycling, all of which are essential and important. But there's also a third strategy that is just beginning to be known to more and more people, is also being recognized by the United Nations, by the Biden administration. And this is called climate restoration. The other methods that I just mentioned are part of the Paris agreements, which aim toward net zero carbon emissions by 2050. But the problem there is that even when we achieve that goal, which is so important, 95% of the legacy CO2 that's there in the atmosphere right now will continue to be there, doing its damage with heat waves, ocean rise, hurricanes, fires. Mitigation has to do with not putting more CO2 into the air, doing less. Carbon restoration, on the other hand, not its climate restoration, excuse me, has to do with healing the environment. Actually taking the CO2 out of the air, sequestering it or repurposing it. It's a form of remediation and of healing the damage that we have done. Not only don't do more damage, but correct the damage. And the science exists now and continues to be further developed of a number of processes. Just a quick few examples that I hope will give you encouragement and hope. And please also know that there are links in the chat that I've entered where you can explore these concepts and these examples further on the internet. One of them developed and is active in Iceland and then branched into Switzerland. And it's called CLIMWORK, CLIMEWORKS. It draws the CO2 out of the air and pumps it deep into the earth into porous basalt, where it can be and is sequestered and safely and permanently stored, returning the carbon to the earth. A second very fascinating example is an industry. It's a startup in California. It's called the Blue Planet LTD. And Peter Frykowski, that I referred to earlier, is one of the founders of this industry. And Blue Planet also draws CO2 out of the air or sometimes out of the enormous smokestacks that we see everywhere spewing out CO2. And it repurposes it, it collects it, and it combines it with calcium to create carbon negative limestone. And the limestone is used then as an aggregate in the formation of carbon negative concrete. Now, why is concrete such a big deal? Well, first of all, the production of concrete creates 8% of the global CO2 emissions throughout the world these days. So to actually draw out great quantities of CO2 and repurpose it in a useful and productive and commercial way is seen as a very hopeful possibility. And actual production has begun with this. A third brief reference is to a lot of science that is developing ways of creating kelp forests in the ocean, kelp as well as algae blooms, which nurture fisheries and increase the availability of fish, and also through the process of photosynthesis, draw out a great deal of CO2. All of these are very hopeful indications. Now, there will be, there already are some naysayers and doubters, but think about when wind and solar energy were in their infancy and all the struggles against them, sometimes by well-meaning people who are just not very well informed. There will be some uphill, and to scale these industries that I mentioned up to the high level is going to take tremendous amount of commitment, but it can be done, and hopefully it can be done through a market system that favors restoration of the environment. So what we're talking about is healing. We're talking about restoring our environment back to pre-industrial eras in terms of the atmosphere. So these things give me a lot of hope. And on the local level, our Little Environment Action Team has been communicating with Peter Frykowski, whom I referred to, and exploring the concept, the idea, which by the way was an idea that Eloise Chevrier came up with. What about the possibility of Blue Planet or a similar industry coming to the Hilco site, to the old refinery that Buki was just referring to, and actually creating a sustainable energy that employs people, that helps clean our air here, and that repurposes the CO2 into a meaningful product? So we are exploring this also with the help of a expert a scientist who also has a lot of knowledge about the financial world to see what steps may be possible in trying to increase environmental justice right here in Philadelphia. Thank you.
We've shared from our hearts. We've shared from our research. We've shared from our faith this morning. But perhaps the most important part of our message is that we are all in this together. It will take many large and small efforts to heal our natural world, a world we have received from God as a gift. We did not create this beautiful planet and universe. We have been given it. It is a sacred gift from God, and we, all of us, need to take care of it. It will take all of our many little efforts, not using plastic, eating less meat, saving on our use of water, walking or taking public transportation, recycling paper, buying less, to support a climate-friendly culture. The scientists will work on the big things, while it's up to all of us to multiply our many little efforts. So join us this morning after worship for TAB EDU to discuss our challenges and successes in healing the earth. And may our Easter promises of resurrection and new life spur us on to do this work. Amen.
One of the ways that we live in community together, that we sustain this community sustains us in turn in our efforts, is through our contributions and our donations. To donate, you can text any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/contribute. Please be sure to select the appropriate fund when making a gift online. By text, include a tag like pledge, visitor, or other along with your gift so we know how to direct it.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass.
Thank you for these gifts. For the glory of God, for the glory of creation, the sustaining of this congregation and sustaining of the earth. Let us put these gifts to good use. Amen.
We come now to the time in our service when we share our joys, concerns, and testimonies. You might like to add to what you have heard this morning with your own testimony, or perhaps you have concerns about other people, other situations in our world, or a joy that you want all of us to know about. So we welcome you to use the chat function to add your joys, concerns, struggles, and prayers before God and our community. And Chris Purdom will read the chat as we go through them, each one. And I will conclude with prayer.
From Pax, lifting up a prayer of gratitude for the prophetic voices among us, reminding us of hope and our deep connection to the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Vic Comfort, a gratitude for Tab's ministry of loving and caring for the earth and people in it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Lucinda, some students at my school are coming back this week, just one day, but we are very excited, praying for joy and connection and community. I'm so looking forward to seeing them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Rose, prayers for Jennifer and Laura's mom, Janetta, who is undergoing eye surgery tomorrow. We are so hopeful for restored vision for her. Prayers for safe travel to St. Louis for the surgery for Janetta, Jennifer, Laura, and Levi. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Geneva, I pray that we will have the courage to take up the awesome challenge that climate change presents us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Donald Wargo, I ask prayers for our president. May his big dreams of helping Americans become reality. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Let us hold all these prayers in our hearts as we sing together our song of prayer.
Oremus, mi Dios, oremus, mi Dios, listen to your people, oremus. Oremus, mi Dios, oremus, mi Dios, oremus, mi Dios, listen to your people, oremus, mi Dios.
And we have one more prayer offering, and that is from Sana Del Corazon, who asked for prayers for all the April babies who were born or are celebrating birthdays this month. Happy birthday, especially to Chris and Rose and everyone else who is celebrating. Thank you for that wonderful prayer, Sana. And let us now join our hearts together as we continue to lift up concerns of our people as we pray together. Oh God, on this morning of rain, we are reminded that you continue to nourish the earth, that you continue to take care of us, even when we have a tendency to lack our own self-care and our care for the world. We thank you for this nourishing time, a time that will yield good harvest and beautiful flowers. We thank you also as we welcome Antonio James, born to Joanna and Gavin this past week. We thank you that you continue to give us new life. And for all those who are celebrating birthdays, we also give thanks for another chance to experience the wonder of being alive as we celebrate another year. We thank you also that we are able to return in some ways to school, to a little bit more normal life, We thank you that, yes, schools will begin to slowly reopen as young students will return to classrooms and teachers will be there to welcome them. We thank you that slowly, slowly, we are being knit together. We also thank you for restoration of vision and for all of the doctors and nurses who are a part of the healing process. We know that we do not heal ourselves. You are the great healer, and you add to the efforts that the doctors and nurses and the skills of all of our sciences enable us to use. But you are the great healer, and so we thank you that you are enabling healing all around us. We also thank you for our president, who has a concern for the environment and who is introducing many new possibilities and trying to raise funds for them. We ask for the success of his work. We also give you thanks and praise for all of the efforts that we can make together as we attempt to heal. But we also acknowledge that there is so much to be done, and we pray especially for those children that are at our border and for a solution to this crisis, which in some ways has been exacerbated by climate change. Help us get to the source and find a way so that all people may live together in the land that they call home. And we add to our prayers this morning all of the silent prayers that were lifted up in our hearts. May you continue to listen to the yearnings of the earth, to the yearnings of your people, and to the hopes that we have for a more sustainable future. And now we pray together the words that Jesus taught us, and you can find them on the screen if you don't know the Lord's Prayer, or use whatever version you are accustomed to using as we pray this prayer of Jesus. Our parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we conclude this time of worship, let us hear these words of benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope and take up all the challenges that are facing you. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen. As we conclude this time of worship, I would like to let you know that we will stay online for a